This lesson follows last week's lesson, and if you weren't here, Rosie told the story of young Samuel at the temple being ministered by Eli and being awakened in the night by hearing someone calling his name. And he kept thinking it was Eli, and Eli said, "I'm not calling your name." And Eli was able to discern that it was God speaking to Samuel. And so listen for the word of the Lord. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We continue our study on being the people of God, and we're pulling our texts out of the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Last week we talked about listening openly and discerningly. This week we pick up with a different topic. And so we are in chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord. Well, it was an amazing church. It was in Seattle, and this is the way one online post talked about this church. Just 17 years old, the church was drawing an average weekly attendance of 12,329 people to 15 locations. In fiscal year 2013 alone, this church baptized more than 1,000 people, planted 53 churches in India, supported 20 church planters and evangelists in Ethiopia. It released 50 brand new worship songs and gave away more than 3,000 Bibles in the United States and again in Ethiopia. Their total income for 2013 was right around $25 million. And then, within 4 months in 2014, the church closed. In 4 months, they went from 12,000 people a Sunday to closing. So, what happened? Well, essentially what happened was that the elders finally had come to a point with the senior pastor, who was sort of one of Christianity's rock stars. They came to the point where they were tired of the fact that he was verbally and emotionally abusing his staff, had been for years, and he had taken $1 million+ that had been specifically donated for a huge evangelism outreach program, and he purchased copies of his own book so he could be on the New York Times bestseller list. So, the elders loved him, and they came to him and they said, "Okay, here's what we would like you to do. We want you to take some time off and think about, pray about, get some counseling on how you've been treating your staff and on this misappropriation of funds, and then come back refreshed and we'll sort of start over again. Well, he agreed to do that, and 2 weeks into his short sabbatical, he resigned. He said, I don't need this. And a week after his resignation was announced, attendance was down by 75%. Within a few weeks, there were fewer than 400 people attending. And the church finally simply decided to close its doors. So, what was going on? The answer from my perspective is that what was going on was that these people were playing follow the leader and not follow the Lord. Because many of the people went to other local area churches just crushed. Others simply left Christianity altogether. These people had placed their hope, their faith, everything they had, not in the church, not in Jesus Christ, but in this one rock star pastor. They were playing follow the leader. Now, to be honest, this shouldn't surprise us at all, because we human beings have this sort of deep programming. I talked last week about programming. We have this deep programming to look for the alpha male or the alpha female, this one charismatic leader who comes to us promising us everything, and our desire is to find that and follow them into this glorious future. This isn't new. It's been around. Think of Alexander the Great. He took this Macedonian army and he travels literally almost halfway around the world, conquering all of these nations, and these men followed him with a passion because they believed in his vision for this huge kingdom. Any of you Civil War buffs? Yeah, all right. George Pickett was a Confederate general whose men believed in him and trusted him. And at the Battle of Gettysburg, thousands of men followed him across an open wheat field into the teeth of the onslaught of the Union Army to the place where more than half of them died. And yet none of them said, General, I think this is a bad idea. They went. They believed in him. He was the leader. And we do that today. We do it with pastors, with pundits, with politicians. Doesn't matter whether it's right or left. We look for these people that we can sort of pour ourselves into, believing that they have the answer. They're going to be the ones that will bring this glorious future to be, and so we play follow the leader. But there's a problem with that. Actually, there are lots of problems with that, but the main one is they're human just like you and I are human. This isn't to say that there aren't good leaders out there, people with vision and ability, because there are plenty of those. And yet, this is not just sort of working with them. It is placing all of our hope, faith, and trust that this is the one anointed leader. A pastor friend of mine in Austin, whenever he would have a new member class, he would say, if you stick with us long enough, we will disappoint you. I mean, he had this realization that no one should either put all of their faith in him or in the church. And so the second thing that's wrong with this is that there is only one person in whom we should put our whole faith and trust. And it's not a pundit, a politician, a preacher. It is Jesus of Nazareth. And so how do we do it? How do we resist that temptation? Because I think if we're honest with ourselves, we will always sort of feel this pull to do that. So how do we resist the temptation? The answer comes in this section of Mark's gospel. Step one, we do what Jesus tells us to do. We repent and believe the good news. Now, for many who grew up in sort of more conservative religious traditions, when we talk about repenting, what often that means is that we sort of beat ourselves over the back that we're sinners and we need to not be sinners. Well, that's not really what Jesus is about here. Repentance here means to change one's mind. That's all it means, to change your mind. To change your mind from believing that King Herod and his sons, or believing that the Romans, or believing that the Sadducees or the Pharisees or the Zealots could somehow bring about this amazing kingdom of God, to change your mind from believing that and believing the good news that in Jesus himself, this new kingdom is at hand. This new kingdom is breaking into the world. This alternative kingdom is arising. And I want us to realize this morning what a remarkable thought that is. That we're professing that an apocalyptic, messianic preacher, teacher who grew up in the sticks of Galilee, who was crucified and risen, that in him and him alone this kingdom comes. That's a radical idea. But that's what we're called to do. We're not called to put our allegiance with anyone else, our ultimate allegiance, but only with Jesus of Nazareth. The second thing we're called to do is follow. I know, that's duh. We're talking about following. But we're to follow. Now, much easier for the people in this story, right? For James, John, Peter, Andrew, it's much easier for them. Jesus shows up and goes, hey guys, listen, I'm, you know, the kingdom's breaking in here. I want you to go with me. Come on along. And they're, I still don't get it. It's like, yep, you know, off we go. And they just head out and follow Jesus. Mark says, immediately. Everything's immediately in Mark. And so they immediately follow Jesus. Now, but the question is, 2,000 years later, what does it mean for us to follow? I mean, that's one of the questions, right? What does it look like for us to follow? All right. How many of you have seen the movie, The Free State of Jones? All right, I'm going to turn around. How many of you? Four people. There was only one, two at first service. All right, so just stick with me here. The movie The Free State of Jones is the story of a man named Newton Knight, Newt. He grew up in Jones County, Mississippi, and joined the Confederacy at the beginning of the war. And as he witnessed the horror of the war, he began to realize that this wasn't just a lost cause, this was a wrong cause. So he leaves the battlefront, he heads back to his home, and there he watches as the Confederacy is literally looting their own land, taking people's crops and animals, taking everything they could get their hands on to feed the troops, leaving people with nothing. And he realizes this isn't the way life should be. And so he begins to resist. I want you to think about that. In deep Mississippi, he begins to resist. The Confederacy chases him, tries to chase him down, and he's injured, and he doesn't know where to go. And a slave takes pity on him and leads him into the nearby swamps. but leaves him on the edge of the swamps where he is still vulnerable. And then along comes this slave named Rachel. And Rachel takes him by the hand and says, we're going to go essentially deeper into the swamp, but you have to step where I step. You have to put your feet exactly where I put my feet, because if you don't, you will go into the swamp and you will be lost. And so slowly she steps out into what appears to be the swamp, but is the only sort of below the level of the water place that you can walk. And he puts his feet exactly where she puts her feet. Folks, that's what we are to do as followers of Jesus. That's what following Jesus is all about. We're to put our feet where he put his feet. We're to put our feet of compassion where he put his feet of compassion. We're to put our feet of forgiveness where he put his feet of forgiveness. We're to put our feet of love where he put his feet of love. We are to follow Jesus Christ step by step by step. That's what following Jesus is all about. It's not simply about believing certain things. It's about following. The last step is that we are to follow together. You notice when Jesus goes through and calls these people to himself, Peter, Andrew, James, John, he calls them all to go with him. And along the way, he will call other people. He doesn't simply pass through and say, okay, everybody believe in me and you're saved. That's all you need to do. No, he says, come on, as a community, as a group of people, because what Jesus is creating is that alternative kingdom. He's not just building a church. He's building something amazing and transformative. And you and I are called to journey, to follow together, because we need each other. We need each other so that when we get off the path, when we step out into that swamp, there are others who can take us by the hand and bring us back in. We have others around us that if suddenly we decide that we're going to give ourselves over to whoever it is, there are others that say, wait a minute, think about it, listen, discern. We are to travel as community, as family, because we need each other. In a few minutes after the hymn, we are going to be ordaining and installing our next class of elders and deacons. These people are installed not to rule over you, and you are not giving your allegiance to them. They are fellow travelers. They are fellow followers. And their task is nothing more and nothing less than to help us put our feet where Jesus put his feet. And I want you to notice, as you listen to the questions that are going to be asked of them, I want you to listen for the centrality of Jesus' name. Because Jesus Christ is at the heart of all of those questions. Because all of us who serve as elders, Ted, Joanne, me, we serve as those who are not the one to be followed, but the one to go on the journey with. And so my challenge to you is this. As you go through your week, to ask yourself this question. Am I playing follow the leader? Or am I following the Lord? Am I playing follow the leader?
or am I following the Lord? Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you sent your only Son into the world, that he might bring life, that he might call us into community, that he might change our lives and change the world. Help us to work at following him in all that we do, in all that we think, and in all that we say. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.